The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 25th, 2022. The community for this week was, the commentary for this week, rather, was written by Ava Suarez, an associate rector at St. James Church in Manhattan, where her primary focus is outreach ministry. The commentary for Monday, July 25th, begins as follows from Psalms chapter 7, verse 9. Give judgment for me according to my righteousness, O Lord, and according to my innocence, O Most High. Jesus had a nickname for James and his brother John, Sons of Thunder, or Boanerges, as it travels from Aramaic to Greek in the Gospel of Mark. And they thundered. In Luke's Gospel, the brothers are so incensed when a Samaritan village rejects Jesus that they want to call down God's fiery destruction. Well, James was the first disciple to be martyred, a testament to his passionate preaching and the threat it posed to Rome's power. And in Matthew, we see James and John declare that they are ready to follow Jesus anywhere, but also that they long to sit in a place of honor in God's kingdom, missing the point of the kingdom entirely. Jesus calls his friends together and calms the uproar with those familiar words that whoever wants to become great must become a servant. In these stories of bluster, we know Jesus delivered with love the nickname of Sons of Thunder. And James and John were two of Jesus' closest friends. He knew their gifts and their faults, and he loved them anyway. What a wonderful thing to be known that way by God. Now here's the full reading for this day from Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The moving forward question for this day is, what nickname might Jesus give you? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, July 26, that begins as follows with a quote from Romans chapter 16, verse 19b. I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. The phrase snake oil salesman has always made me think of the Old West, of rattlesnakes in the desert and dubious frontier apothecaries. Many of these miracle cures were not only useless, but also downright harmful, leading to the creation of the American Food and Drug Administration. People's willingness to believe in anything that gave them hope was getting them killed. In several of our readings today, people's desire to make their own truth is shown for the risk it can be. In Judges, God is disappointed and at times furious that the Israelites are so easily led astray by the gods and idols of their neighbors. In Romans, Paul warns that people with bad motives can cause harm to communities. And Matthew's gospel shows the lengths to which some leaders will go to preserve their power. For Christians, faith is a matter of life and death, of victory over death, and new life in Christ. Our allegiance and worship is a gift, but to what ends? I have two readings for today, the first one from Judges, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I had promised to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. For your part, do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my command. See what you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become adversaries to you, and their God shall be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the Israelites, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named that place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord. Now from the New Testament, here's a reading for today from Romans, chapter 16, verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teaching that you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. For while your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I want you to be wise in what is good and guileless in what is evil. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the moving forward question for today is this: when have you been desperate to believe in a quick fix or an easy cure? Now let us turn to the commentary for Wednesday, July 27th. It begins as follows. This is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. How our readings get put together by the lectionary is a bit of a mystery sometimes. Today you'll read Matthew's gut-wrenching account of Jesus' final moments on the cross, together with the slightly slapstick murder of Eglon, as well as Christ's ascension to heaven. Oh, perhaps you are as tickled as I am, the author says, to imagine the disciples all standing around, staring at the sky while Jesus departs from them in a manner not that different from a helium balloon. What I see today is the movement from the particular to the universal. In Jesus' death, the meaning of his life is transformed. His cross stands not just on Golgotha, but over all humanity. But his resurrection and ascension, Jesus transcends living in one place and one time, visible to just one community of people. Jesus of Nazareth is now God who has lived with us, who knows what it means to be human, the Son, who with the Father and the Spirit is accessible to all people in all times and in all places, one God who is above all and through all and in all. Let's take a look at the detailed reading from Matthew 27, verses 45 to 54 about the death of Jesus. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud, loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." And now we move to the reference to the ascension in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. "So when they had come together and they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' He replied, 'It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" And the moving forward question for this day is to research the history of the lectionary. Why do you think specific readings like these are placed together? Now on Reflection Day by Day, we'll turn to the commentary for Thursday, July 28th. It begins as follows with Acts 1, verse 16b. "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas." How striking that between the Great Commission, the Ascension, and Pentecost, is this more personal interlude among the disciples. They wonder who will pick up the work Judas left behind. And between the lines, I read another question. How does any community heal after a profound betrayal of trust? Well, Judas, after all, had been there every step of the way. His name is so synonymous with betrayal that I often forget to insert him into all of those stories. He was in the boat watching Peter step out onto the waves. He saw those few fish and loaves feed a multitude. He healed and prayed and taught right alongside his friends. To call a new member into the work of the apostles was a small act of bravery and healing, just as they had prayed alongside their former friend. They gathered in prayer again, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide their discernment into a new relationship. Some of the hurt caused by Judas would doubtless remain, but this growing community of the resurrection trusted that new life was ahead. Let's take a look at this passage from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 21 to 26. So, one of the men who have accompanied us throughout the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The moving forward question for this day is more of a statement: pray for the healing of a broken relationship. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, July 29th. It begins as follows from the book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 6. O God, you know my foolishness, and my faults are not hidden from you. Every time we have a big family supper, the same thing happens. When it's time to eat, the food is on the table, and everyone is sitting down. But my mother will stay on her feet, walking around the kitchen and scanning the counters, wondering aloud, "Are we missing anything?" "Yes, we always cry, 'We're missing you.'" Martha understood that love incarnate had entered her home. She wanted to greet love with love, to greet Christ's hospitality with more of the same. Yet she was so intent on her vision of what it meant to welcome a guest that she couldn't see the bigger picture. Sometimes in our desire to open our homes and our hearts, we end up with a wall of dishes between us. Our worries are powerful, even with the people we love the most. Often we try to show love through what we can do instead of by who we are. We forget that service can be the fruit of our love and not our fears about whether we are good enough. The gospel reading for this day shows the women in action during the resurrection of Jesus. From Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 10, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The moving forward question for this day: slow down doing a familiar chore, or invite a loved one to help you. The commentary for Saturday, July 30th, begins as follows. This is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20b. "And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The conclusion of Matthew's Gospel is often called the Great Commission. That is, a commission and not a command is a key distinction. With a command, it's all on you to figure it out, to fail or succeed, and to handle whatever may come. But this sending is different. Jesus is empowering the disciples in his name, promising them the authority and spiritual equipment they'll need to accomplish their mission. It's mission, after all, that is the heart of the matter. Mission comes from the Latin word for sent, and we are always sent with a purpose. Add the conjunction that means with com, C-O-M, so to be commissioned is to be sent along with. Jesus is commissioning the disciples by sending them with his own authority and teaching. In handing over his ministry into their care, Jesus promises that no matter what comes or where they go, he will be with them. And like all of God's promises, this assurance is for us too. As the Gospel of Matthew ends, the story of the church, our story, is just the beginning. And now here is the commissioning of the disciples from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 11 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And the moving forward question today is a good one for all of us. How are you responding to the Great Commission? We conclude for this week with the commentary for Sunday, July 31st, and it begins as follows, from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21a. Because sometimes one has toiled with wisdom and knowledge, and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. Ecclesiastes is a challenging book. This week is the only time we read it in Sunday worship. Yet, perhaps strangely, it is one of my favorites. It makes sacred space for our ambivalence and disillusionment. The kind of feelings we might be ashamed to bring to God in prayer is prayer there on the page. Who wants to work hard for what they can't enjoy? Who hasn't felt bitterness? Who hasn't felt overwhelmed by the suffering we can see in the world today? God can handle our frustration and go with us there, but God won't leave us there. In Luke's Gospel, we hear that concentrating too much on what we believe we deserve throws us off course. Our view gets too narrow, and we can't see God, others, or even ourselves clearly. To be God's creation is to live for one another, just as Christ lived for all of us. With gratitude for our blessings now, we can try to let our love and labor generate greater life for the sake of the whole world. Now let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." And the moving forward question for this day is, how does the Scripture speak to you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for this program. I hope you enjoyed it. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.